would be in the movie version of Beyond Sunday? Who would be your dream actor?
Beyond, if we're making a movie of Beyond Sunday.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Who would be your dream actor to portray you?
Jennifer Lawrence.
Solid choice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, all right.
I would be happy playing myself next to Jennifer Lawrence. So done.
Everybody's on board.
You know, a young Arnold Schwarzenegger is almost.
How young are we talking?
Like, you know, 80s, 90s. Yeah, right.
I really 80s, thought you 90, were going to okay. say The Good Place. What's her name?
Kristen Bell?
Kristen Bell. Yeah.
Playing her? Him?
Him. Massive crush over
I do,
here.
Yeah,
sure, but
Bell,
like
yeah.
having Kristen Bell play his part.
Just because, what an honor.
You know, it's one step closer.
Right. Fewer degrees of separation.
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff with me as always, Pastor Nazaroff.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here, still pretty successful.
Yes, well, we missed us, you and me, at least last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was
great,
fine.
Great job. Yeah. The King's Embrace is
absolutely
really neat ministry, really cool things going on over there, and some powerful stories.
Yeah. So. I'm guessing we'll hear more about it from Pastor Xander in the future.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. On the podcast or in our sanctuary or
all
congregation?
All the places.
Yes.
Who knows?
Yeah. She gave a great talk about it on Sunday.
Yeah.
Last week.
Yep.
Not yesterday. Last Sunday.
Tough to say.
Yeah.
Time is relative.
And that's a time of this release. You know, whenever you listen to this, who knows?
I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
It happened. All right. Right. Yeah, that's fine.
This episode is coming out the day after St. Patrick's Day.
Well, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Which we have not acknowledged yet.
Yeah,
I did recently.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yes.
I recently found out I'm Irish.
Should we have a green microphone over here? We could
maybe,
change that around. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're so Irish?
Yeah.
So
it's the holiday of my people.
Kiss your ring now or something? Like, what happens?
Maybe.
If you're,
I don't know.
You're a Protestant Irish, though, so you should be wearing orange, not green.
Really?
Yeah. The green is Catholic Irish.
Okay. I didn't know that this was a...
Well, so, you know, Ireland was divided amongst
sure.
the Catholics
yep.
and the Protestants, and green was worn by the Catholics, and orange was worn by the Protestants, so...
Did not know this. New information.
Yeah. It's not really a thing we do in the U.S., because none of us are actually Irish. We just want a reason
right.
to drink.
Right.
So,
yeah. That's why everybody celebrates St. Patrick's
right.
Day. It's
that's
like
fine.
Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah. Here's your, you know, minor,
no,
minor
we
holiday.
We love to appropriate
and we will
a drink
use it
holiday.
As a reason to drink and take off work. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, since we're back in.
Is Cinco de Mayo on a Sunday, too? No, it's on a Monday.
It's on the 5th of May.
It is, but it's on a Monday.
This year, yeah.
Well, because St. Patrick's Day is not
always on a Sunday.
I thought
you were asking if it was recurring on a Sunday. No. I was like, I don't think that's how the calendar works.
St. Patrick's Day happens to be on a Sunday
right.
this year.
I know I don't understand Easter and Lent and
Easter's
Advent.
Always on a Sunday. I got
right.
that.
But Cinco de Mayo I got.
Good work. Nailed it.
All right, let's jump into our news story.
Yeah, the news.
We got some fast food news.
I love food
I
news.
Swear,
me
if,
too.
If you're going to ruin more fast food for me, I'm...
At least we're not like...
Fast food is ruining itself.
Bugs in the nose. Maggots
that's true,
on a plane
no,
this week.
Nobody's maggots are falling on me
yeah,
this
yeah.
week.
Yeah.
All right, I got two fast food stories here.
Uh-oh.
I really could do three. I got three in the queue, but I think we'll maybe just do one and we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk about Burger King.
Okay.
All right. I'm fine knocking on Burger King.
Yeah, it's...
Dethrone the king.
It's D tier for me. You know,
yeah.
Maybe F tier.
I like, haven't been to a Burger King in...
Yeah.
Since I was old enough to say I don't want that.
For sure. Me too. It's been years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there have been, you know...
Maybe in like...
in an airport, that's the only option. Sure.
Right.
Yeah. A situation where I'm like, what else is there?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. You know, I don't dig the fake flame broiled lines on the burger.
They're really trying.
I will say, if I'm going to Burger King, I'm not getting the burger. Like, it's, you know, basic chicken fingers and I'm out of there. Like, that's
sure.
that's safe. It's, you know,
yeah.
it's not going to kill
you know,
me.
That's true. Because those things came pre-cooked
yeah,
and they just warmed them
it's
up.
Fine.
So,
yeah.
you know.
It's
right.
not going to be good, but it'll, you know, sustain.
All right. Employees of mm-hmm. Minnesota Burger King were... Got a prank phone call.
From the king himself?
Maybe not from the king. That caused them to smash all the windows of the restaurant.
Wow.
Whoa.
What kind of phone call drives you to smash the windows?
It's like a hypnotist.
Yeah. The prank phone call called in, pretending they were from the Minneapolis Fire Department.
Excellent.
And told them that there was a gas leak and a buildup in the restaurant and would
break
cause
the windows.
An explosion
yeah.
unless they broke all the windows immediately.
Okay. I love, one, that they followed instructions.
Yes.
That's
great.
Reaffirming.
Yep.
Well
yep.
done. Two, I love that no one stopped to say, I don't smell any gas.
Hey, some gas has no smell. You know, that's the worst kind of
no,
gas.
No, the whole reason that gas smells is to be able to smell it in gas leaks. Like, if there's a gas leak, it's because it's from the gas that has a scent so that you can...
Right. So in the U.S., we actually give an artificial scent to...
So that you can smell it in a gas leak.
Yeah.
Plus three, there were probably already open flames. And no one thought, like, why hasn't this exploded
yet? In my experience, I have always had to call the fire department to report a gas leak.
They never called you.
They've never called me.
That's an interesting point. Yeah.
You know, and also, like, too, if there's a gas leak in your Burger King restaurant, save yourself.
don't go down with that ship. It ain't worth it.
Maybe they thought
the king is not coming to save you.
Right. Like,
it could have been that they thought they were saving themselves by breaking the window. So I would give them that one.
Running is the preferable option.
Right.
Maybe there are people that couldn't run, and they're like, if we don't, you know, break these windows, these people can't get out. You know,
that's true. That's
very altruistic thinking of you for these Burger King employees.
Right. I love that there's no, like, are we drowsy? Are we having trouble processing information? Like,
they're a Burger King employee. The answer is yes.
Right, yeah. That's true. Probably automatically.
Yeah, they're automatically like, ugh, whatever.
Right.
Okay.
Maybe they're also like, I'm going to break something.
You know? Right. This is awesome.
Best case scenario.
Yeah, and I get to, you know, hey, fire department told me to. What can I do? Right. What am I supposed to do in that situation?
What's the insurance claim like on this? Yeah,
I don't
you
know.
Call your insurance, be like, all my employees were pranked by this phone call.
What do you do as a manager of this Burger King? Like, do you fire everybody? Do you promote everybody?
Right. Like, I don't know what happens there.
Employee Ethan Grew said, it's nothing I ever came across, duh. So I didn't know what to do. I guess they did not cover that in training.
That's fair.
Sure.
Yeah.
I guess I was a little scared. My other coworkers were doing it, so I just followed along.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, in this situation.
Okay. I'm ready. I'm an employee at a Burger King.
Or, like, how susceptible are you to, like, a authority telling you what to do, right? Like, this is a person who's not like, hey, there's a gas. Like, they're like taking on the
role of being a firefighter,
of an authority figure.
Yeah.
You know, if they were like, I'm a police officer, I need you to do this, like, would you be like, yeah, that makes sense? Or are you questioning that authority?
On the phone, I'm questioning that authority.
Yeah.
In person, I'm gonna have a harder time.
Yeah.
I'm a rule follower, so if somebody in a firefighter uniform pulls up in a fire truck and walks in and tells me to smash windows, I'm probably smashing windows.
Sure.
Right. Yeah.
Because at least they went to the extent of getting a fire truck to pull off that prank. Like, that's, you know, that's
right,
quality.
Right. Yeah. Over the phone, skeptical of everything.
Yeah.
I'm also automatically annoyed by somebody telling me what to do, though.
There is that. That we've discussed this on the podcast
right.
before.
Right. So, like, I don't know how likely I am to actually.
Well, you should sit there and not do my laundry.
I guess, you know, like smashing the windows is kind of like a pretty low risk kind of activity, right? Like, worst case scenario, I get fired from Burger King. I mean, like, that was probably going to happen anyway.
Right.
Maybe it's a level up. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Good luck, Burger King.
Yeah.
Are there windows of restaurants that you would like to smash out?
Long John Silver's.
Stop it.
You don't have to be in the Long John Silver's.
I feel like it's a front.
So what? It's delicious
really
sauce puppies.
You know, the mattress firms, those are the real fronts out there.
Yeah.
You know,
right, sure.
Yeah.
The whole QAnon thing about, like, the kids and the pizza restaurant, though, like, I could, like, Long John Silver's, I could almost be there.
Yeah, I guess if, like, you're at the restaurant and, you know, get a call and they're like, I'm from the FDI, there's kids in this pizza restaurant.
I'm like, I believe it.
Yeah.
They're in the popcorn shrimp. Like, there's, you know, no way the shrimp is this cheap.
I think over the phone, the further you get from that phone call, the harder it is to, like, obey that authority. Like, in the moment, I might be like, you know, yeah, this makes sense. I'm with you. Mm-hmm. But you put that phone down and you get 10 steps away. That's probably when you're like, wait, what now?
Wait.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you know, somebody calls Beyond Sunday to prank us, to break our windows, some advice for any pranksters out there, keep us on the phone. Right?
Right.
Like, keep me on the phone.
You need to talk us through it.
Yeah.
Do you have the hammer in your hand?
You
want to
call
a cell,
not a landline. That's what I'm saying. Like, you need, you know, put me on speaker.
Let's not kid ourselves. None of us are answering a phone number we don't recognize.
No.
That is true. I'm sitting there.
Decline.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I've never seen a person landline at McDonald's where somebody answers.
I mean, they've got to have them, right?
Yeah. I guess so. Like, if they're calling the landline, you got to be like, who's calling this except the fire department?
Yeah.
Right?
There's got to be a way to do it.
Or a prankster.
Nobody's supposed to have this number.
They probably have like a back office, like a manager line or something like that. It's,
sure.
You know,
yeah.
It's probably
I wonder how difficult that is to find.
The back office where the manager
number
works?
For like a Burger King.
Oh, man. I bet we could find it right now.
I know.
I'm sure I could find it instantaneously.
Should we try this?
Let's do it on air.
Right.
Beyond the prank.
All right. I'm calling Burger King right now. It's me, the king.
Yeah, we can see which food chain is most susceptible to our prank calls. I like that. Yeah.
I got my mask on. Break those windows.
Break them. No, the king never speaks. They would know it wasn't you because the king is silent.
So, oh, no. It's difficult for a phone call.
I'm the king's helper. Right. I'm here looking at him translating.
Right. I need you to log on to Zoom. The king is going to mime this out for you.
Oh, goodness. All right.
All right. Let's get to our main topic
let's
here.
Let's do it.
From Christianity Today. Which we are new. We are new subscribers.
To. Right.
New besties.
Yes. At least paid friends.
Paid besties.
Mm. All right. So they're responding to John MacArthur. Do you know who John MacArthur is?
I mean, I'm not like friends
ish.
With him.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with him.
I feel like this is one of those people where I try to not know who he is.
That's probably for the best. Yeah.
You would be better off. If, yeah.
Right. California pastor, mega church.
Problems number 1 through 3.
Yeah. Pretty old.
Pretty old.
That's not necessarily a problem.
No, don't. I mean,
old people are fine.
That's fine.
Definitely has a large Christian following and circle, you know.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in my circle, but, you know, definitely has one.
I would say definitely not in my circle.
Right.
But,
yeah,
that's fine.
I think years ago with Katie, we covered a John MacArthur story.
That sounds right.
Where he was doing a Q&A and they asked him about Beth Moore.
Oh, this was that guy. Yeah, yeah.
And his response, his two-word response was, go home. And that was it. Yeah, mm-hmm, so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
E.
Kind of a, kind of an E person.
Yeah. He's known for great tact. And
right.
Yeah.
He sounds really nice.
Yeah. Well, recently.
Okay.
What did he do?
John MacArthur spoke out against... Martin Luther King Jr.
We spoke out against Martin Luther King Jr.
Yes.
Okay.
Called him not a Christian at all.
Ooh.
Oh.
A non-believer who misrepresented everything about Christ and the gospel.
Okay.
And called the Gospel Coalition, which are familiar as kind of relatively, you know, pretty conservative organization.
I mean, Gospel Coalition has been behind all sorts of non-denominational starts and things like that. Like, what's his face? Driscoll was part of the Gospel Coalition. Yeah.
Called them woke for honoring King in its MLK 50 conference.
The Gospel Coalition is woke.
Is woke.
Yeah,
yes.
This very evangelically conservative group now woke because we
Mark Driscoll is honored, the biggest eek that I can think of.
Right. Yeah.
So
because we honored Dr. King. Okay.
Yeah.
The Reverend Dr. King, by the way.
Right.
Just in case anybody's forgetting a particular...
Small detail.
The Reverend. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So Christianity Today has a backlash to this. This is their response. They're coming out strong against
MacArthur.
John MacArthur.
Okay,
that's almost hard to believe that we would come out strongly against someone declaring Martin Luther King not a Christian. Okay.
Let's talk about MLK. Let's talk about kind of this article. Then we'll get into some other stuff.
Okay.
Okay. So, first up, is Martin Luther King Jr. a Christian?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he was a Christian.
Yeah.
Yes, he was a pastor. He was, led a congregation. I shouldn't say that he's a pastor. It's like the ultimate, like, but he was someone who was
A fact is that he was, in fact, the reverend.
a pastor who led a congregation, who preached based on scripture, who I think upheld a wide variety of Christian ideals and was not particularly he was not particularly progressive in his theology, right? His theology was rooted in Jesus, and it was politically progressive, but theologically he was not particularly progressive.
Right.
So some earlier work has come out. I did some reading here. You know, what's the criticism? Because I want to know, what are you saying when you say not a Christian? What's the point of this? And, you know, some of his earlier writings, he went to like seminary pretty young, like 15 years old.
Like a child.
Yeah. And some of his early writings does kind of question the divinity of Jesus, the virgin birth, biblical literalism.
Okay.
You know, at least one of those I'm kind of on board with. So,
like, all things that adult scholars in the field question as well, right? Yeah. Like,
yeah. I mean, I think
at least question. And
I think there is a place for healthy debate and conversation about all of those within the realm of being right? Divinity of Jesus. I think, like, eventually you have to land on Jesus was God. Right,
it's tough to not land all that and still profess Christianity.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Like.
Yeah.
Sure. Which we're actually going to get to at the end of this.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I would say, like, if I'm forever judged based on what I wrote about Jesus when I was 15, I'm also probably in trouble.
Like, I think I was writing MySpace statuses at 15.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Was Jesus on your MySpace?
Oh, I think there was a lot of Good Charlotte on my MySpace.
Oh, man, I haven't heard a Good Charlotte reference in a long time. Okay. Thanks for that little trip down memory
lane. You're welcome. Yeah. It's your playlist for the rest of the afternoon.
It will not be, but that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, there is definitely a period, a season. And the other part, you know, that would be a critical of Martin Luther King Jr. is some infidelity that is attached to kind of his life.
Yep.
So this is kind of a complex kind of question, right? Like, he's this liberal theism. He got some infidelity on his marriage, and he's also an incredibly brilliant speaker, leader, and figure in American history.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess as a Christian, I could say there's maybe some complexity there.
Sure.
Right.
But to declare, like, not a Christian and a non-believer who misrepresented everything about Christ and the gospel. I mean, you know, everything is doing a lot. You know?
Yeah. I mean,
it's a big swing.
Yeah.
Never having any sort of, like, public sin or mess up doesn't make you more of a Christian than somebody who does.
Sure.
Right? Like, that's totally besides the point of Christianity.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it can be complex.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I don't think that affects your status as
a Christian. Like, you can say, like, oh, he messed up. Like, that's kind of gross. Or I don't love that aspect of his platform or whatever, but to say, well, automatically he's not a Christian because he messed up is kind of like, well, what are the rest of us doing? Like,
100%. Yeah, and you know, we can kind of, maybe this is a side topic here, you know, like, get into the pastor who is in, you know, commits adultery. Can they still be a pastor for a congregation?
Oh, that happens all the time. Like, there's so many stories of that, right?
Really. Like, no, you know, but when I look at those from other people, I'd be like, I don't think you should. I think you need to step down.
Right.
But with Dr. Martin Luther King,
he's not a Christian.
Does he get a pass on that because he's really good? Because we really like him, at least now.
You know,
at the time, not a lot of Christians were super on board with what Dr. Martin Luther King was saying. You know,
sure. Well, and I think it's easy for us to look back and judge that period now, right? Like, I mean, I don't know what was going on in Martin Luther King's life or in the church or the time. Like, I don't know, right? These things have come out in the time since then. And so it's easy for us to go back and, well, like, maybe he should have stepped down after infidelity became true, right? And maybe he could have had the same cultural impact without being a pastor, right? That's also a possibility. And I would agree with you, Patrick. In general, I would say, like, you should step down after
generally speaking,
infidelity, right?
Yeah,
like,
good
that's
rule.
A good process. But I don't think any of those things put you outside of the bounds of Christianity.
Right.
Like,
100% agreement. Oh, yeah. So, you know, he's going to, the author here, let me get his name, Justin Gibboni, Why John MacArthur is Wrong About MLK. So if you want to read this yourself. And I believe Justin Gibboni is also a black man. So
yeah.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. Just, I, you know, because I think that, you know, it frames it a little different.
Own voices. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. So it's no great mystery, you know, that Dr. Martin Luther King and other Americans it's no great mystery why millions of Americans held King in such high regard. I think we kind of see his work kind of in civil rights, his writings kind of about what it means for justice in America.
Sure.
Something powerful.
Yeah.
And so he's going to highlight, you know, kind of Dr. King's work immediately and then kind of get into this kind of criticism. So MacArthur casts these condemnations casually with an apparent air of self-righteousness that suggests his theological expertise is paired with an infantile understanding of neighborly love. Deep knowledge of systematic theology, unfortunately, can exist alongside a desperate need for remedial instruction on the greatest commandments and a failure to distinguish good from evil, including Dr. King's good work of peace and justice informed by scripture and motivated by the gospel. So we're coming out pretty hard.
That's a sick burn. Saying,
yeah.
Theological burn.
That is a sick theological burn. Yeah. Like, that's... Yeah, if you're in a classroom and that gets thrown out, that's a gasp from the other rest. Yeah,
right.
That's a good one.
Yeah. He's also going to kind of mention some other Christian theologians, Abraham Kuyper, who I don't know, and Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who I do.
Familiar with that one, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wrestled with kind of theological, and he uses the word liberalism, mm-hmm. and I don't think that's, you know, a slight against, like, political liberalism.
No, it's theology, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. But later in life kind of shifted differently as their writings and kind of their knowledge kind mm-hmm. of progressed. But their salvation never questioned.
Yeah.
Right.
Their relationship to who they are to Jesus is not held to the same questioning that Dr. King has been questioned by some other prominent Christian mm-hmm. leaders. So, you know, why is King held to a different standard?
Because he's black and because he challenged the American narrative.
It's pretty simple. Yeah. He challenged us on things that made us uncomfortable.
Yeah.
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 And I'm guessing Bonhoeffer was more challenged in his time, right? Than,
sure.
Than perhaps I don't even know how well Bonhoeffer was known in his time.
Right.
But he's become kind of this popular figure since then. But, right, he was across the ocean in another culture challenging another power structure. I have a feeling Bonhoeffer was not really loved by the Nazi regime who was in power at the time.
Right. So in case anybody listening doesn't know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was involved in a plot to kill Hitler.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right. And then imprisoned for
that's
it.
Good. Yeah,
right.
That's good.
Yeah. And just, yeah. I realized we hadn't actually said
sure,
that.
Sure.
But,
Lutheran pastor.
Yeah.
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 Woo.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah. So he's kind of a rock star in the Lutheran world.
He's a bit of a Lutheran rock star.
He's all we've got.
Because we got him. Yeah.
It's not all we've got. It's something we have.
Right. Yeah.
He's one that we got.
Yeah. But right. So Martin Luther King, right, on this side, right, he was challenging the power structure within the United States.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And
yep.
It continues to be a power structure that we are wrestling with and struggling with, not only personally, but as a culture. Like, mm-hmm. how is race actually impacted? Or how does race actually impact the society in which we live in the United States? And you know, this idea of racism actually being this institutional thing that is carried out, even if you're not sitting there saying hateful slurs in the streets.
Right.
Great, we're not lynching people in the streets anymore, but like there are all these ways in which it continues to play out.
Right.
That's clearly a power structure that we're still fighting against. And so I'm of the opinion, right, that John MacArthur is speaking out in almost in favor of this power structure mm-hmm. as opposed to... In favor of this tearing down of this power structure, which Dr. King would advocate for, and I think is in line with Jesus's message of mm-hmm. there is no longer Jew or Greek or slave or free or et cetera,
right,
et cetera.
Yeah.
That we're, yeah.
I feel like I know everything I need to know about John MacArthur based off that statement, which is maybe not fair, but like already in my head, I'm like, okay, racism doesn't exist anymore. We fixed it.
If it existed ever.
Women, of course, have equal rights. What are you talking about? Patriarchy is great. That's obviously what's laid out in the Bible. You know, like that, it feels like that all kind of goes together.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Oh, you know, it's, everything's woke, and that's the big enemy of the day.
Sure.
Woke. And
what does that even mean?
Nobody knows. I'm
awoke. I awoke up this
I had to woke up.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it kind of means like anything to the left of wherever I am right now is woke. You know, like that's just the reality of it. Like,
sure.
And on any particular topic, anything left of me is woke. It can be kind of thing. And like in some ways, the left can say anything right of me is fundamentalism.
Yeah.
You know, anything left of me is woke. You know, and I'm the real center.
Like, right. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right.
Exactly. Yeah.
At least I'm stuck in the middle with you.
Yeah. Right.
Or if you're on the freeway, anybody driving slower than you is an idiot. Anybody driving faster than you is a maniac.
Right.
Only I am driving the correct speed. Yes.
I mean, it's true. I don't see.
And if your spouse is in the car with you, you're doing both wrong at the same time.
That is true. I'm somehow too reckless and too safe. Because get around this guy and stop driving so fast.
What are you doing?
That's why I encourage my spouse to take naps while I drive.
Dustin writes, let's be honest. The details of King's theological journey have never been the principal concern for his distractors.
Yep.
J. Edgar Hoover and Bull Connor didn't hate King because of his theology or even his indiscretions. They hated his audacity and how he called out America's sins and exposed its fictional storylines. They hated what he didn't know his place and was undermining their authority. Mm-hmm. And I think this is kind of the thing. Like, at the time, critics of Martin Luther King Jr. were not about his theology.
Yeah.
They were not about how his understanding of Jesus. They were not about what he was saying from the pulpit about Jesus.
Nope.
It was about America.
Yeah.
And it was about injustice.
Which
he was experiencing in a very real way.
Yeah. And I don't know if this is ironic or just coincidental, right? Martin Luther King Jr. Is named after his father, who changed his name to Martin Luther in honor of Martin Luther of Lutheran fame, who was in the same predicament, right? 500 years earlier, it was not about slavery, but it was about challenging a power structure.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody came to Martin Luther and said, well, your arguments about Jesus are wrong, right?
Right, yeah.
They came and said, well, we don't like that you're saying we can't make money the way that we want to make money. And right? And so...
Sure.
And yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, there's a connection with the name.
Yeah, for sure.
And look, and also, you know, the reality is, during his time, the majority of Americans did not like Martin Luther King Jr.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, you know, it's easy for me to sit on my high horse now and be like, look at me now. We like him now. But at his time, the majority of Americans, including liberal Americans, did not really like his message.
Sure.
You know, and like they also were threatened by his calling out of America's sins and its fictional storylines.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Or they're like, we think that you know, what you're saying is right, injustice is happening, but let's just, you know, take it slow.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Like, like, we don't need to move so fast, or, you know, we can handle this differently than kind of through this passive resistance. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Towards the end of the article, he says, ironically, those who are obsessed with political power and cultural domination are often the same as those who question King's representation of the gospel. It's telling that he's known for self-sacrifice and they're known for resentment and self-interest. They pick up a cross and awkwardly try to use it as a sword. But King knew the cross is something you bear and ultimately that you die on. And their assessment of King is wrong. I love, you know, this idea. You know, I think that those who kind of look at, you know, King are trying to wield the cross as a sword. You know, like, you know, like a five-year-old boy whose every stick can be a weapon. You know, they're trying to use the cross as a weapon as well, instead of something you bear and die on. And I think that that is, you know, it's telling, right? Like, even if you disagree with some of Dr. King's earlier works, or even if you think his infidelities maybe disqualify him from the position of pastor, I think it's undeniable that his preaching of kind of this passive resistance, self-sacrifice, and that justice is a part of the gospel of Jesus Christ is, I think, undeniable.
Yeah.
Right.
And sometimes it's easy to kind of erase that.
Certainly easy if your name is John MacArthur.
Certainly, yeah, for John MacArthur, maybe, you know, to try to throw the baby out with the bathwater, in a sense, you know. But we wanted to talk a little bit about this kind of last message we kind of brought at the beginning.
Okay.
Who gets to decide who's a Christian?
Because
we kind of, John MacArthur
gets
to decide, Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., it's whether
Reverend
or not,
doctor, but sure, yeah, that's fine.
Whatever, that he is a follower of Jesus. Like, in his mind, I get to make that decision.
Yeah.
So who gets to decide who is a Christian in this world?
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. You put a clarifier on there at the end, so I have to change my answer now. Because initially, you're going to say, who gets to decide who is a Christian? I was going to say, well, Jesus.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like, we got that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I think that's worth, right? Like, none of us actually get to decide.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
And the reality is, we get to decide who we work with and who we don't work with.
Mm-hmm.
But trying to decide who's a Christian or who's not a Christian is largely outside of our realm. Now, I think there are things that we can say, okay, certain people hold to or don't hold to beliefs that I align with.
Yes.
But and if some you tell me you're a Hindu, I'm not going to be like, oh, you're a Christian.
You're really a Christian.
It's easy to say, like, the people who self-identify as not a Christian are not Christian.
That's fine.
Right.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
But, I would say, like, there are central tenets to Christianity. That if we were going to say, okay, for me to understand that you and I are on the same page when it comes to Christianity, you probably hold these things.
Yeah.
Right. And for me, those central tenets would be that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and through his death and resurrection, we're redeemed with God. Right?
Yeah.
If you hold to that, we can talk about everything else.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you don't hold to that, we can still talk about all those other things, but I would probably say, like, your beliefs do not align with Christianity. And for me, That doesn't mean that I can't have that great conversation with you. It doesn't mean that I think you're outside of the bounds of God's grace. It doesn't mean that I have to like ignore everything that you say because you're a woke whatever, right? It just means that, okay, we have a different understanding of what this particular faith is about.
I think what's complicated, even that in those qualifiers, there are people out there who would say no to both those things and self-identify as Christian.
It's
And that makes it, including the Mormon church, you know, like would say no to at least one of those things, you know, like and would self-identify as Christian. So that makes it complicated to kind of talk about, you know, say, are you Christian if you are a Mormon? Maybe.
Like, do they identify as Christian though? I think it's more that they identify as like they believe certain Christian tenets, but they are Mormon, right? Like they differentiate between, they don't think of Mormonism as just like a denomination.
I would agree. They don't, they Protestant don't think, church, they don't think of Mormonism as a denomination of Christianity.
Yeah.
It is the true faith.
Right. Sure. Yeah.
You know, they've gone, you know, we can talk about Mormonism on a later date here.
I know. Yeah. Just
branding wise, they've gone back and forth a little bit. Cause so at one period they wanted to be strongly Mormon, and at the, and another period under new leadership, they wanted to be, let's the closer to Christianity.
Yeah.
You know, like let's look, and this may be when Mitt Romney was nominated for president and they were like,
yeah, well,
and there,
we,
and there were
we
some
do
Christians
today?
Out there who were saying like, he's not really a Christian. Yeah. I can't vote for him. Like conservative Christians.
Yeah.
They probably did anyway. But, but you know, thinking like, they tried to rebrand as we're the now the Church of Jesus Christ
of Latter-day Saints. Yep.
But they, they wanted to drop the Latter-day Saints part for a bit, for a period.
Yeah.
So like
recent
you know,
day Saints.
Church of Jesus Christ. You know, bold claim. Yeah.
Like, you're right.
So I mean that's just a question. Like you know, again, who am I to say they are or not? But like based on that kind of theological standard, and I agree with it, their theology puts them on the outside.
Well, and that I think is a piece of the question, right? I can say someone is or is not a Christian. Am I using that as a weapon against that person, or am I using that as like just an understanding of where they fall on a theological spectrum? Right.
Right.
Like, sure. I can say like, okay, I don't think Mormons fall within my understanding of what it means to be Christian. I can still, I can still say I don't think they fall outside of God's grace. I can still say that we should like partner with them and do good work in the community and host events. And you know, I mean, they're literally our neighbors here, right? Our building is right next door to an LDS church, right? So like, I think John MacArthur wants to wield this title of I get to decide who's a Christian, and that's my authority to then weaponize against other people.
Yes.
Whereas I can just use it to say, like, well, we fall in different places on a particular spectrum, and that can be helpful information, right?
Yeah.
It's good for me to know that we do or don't agree on certain things so that we can have meaningful conversation and partnership as we move forward. My version of Christianity, my understanding of Christianity is not that I exist for the sole purpose of determining who is and is not a Christian by my standards.
Yes.
Yeah, and there's also some like implied inferiority with John MacArthur's statement about Martin Luther King, right? That, you know, he's not a Christian, so therefore he's inferior and what he has to say is also inferior.
Yeah, I don't know if it's inferior or like evil because it's outside of the realm of
Christianity. But
like,
both of those, things are troublesome, right? Like troublesome ways to think of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think this is complicated. Last week, Jon Stewart is back to hosting The Daily Show on Monday nights.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I usually watch it, you know, not live, but
on Tuesday
like,
morning.
I love Jon Stewart. Yeah. And, you know, he was my host of The Daily Show.
Yep, I'm with him,
And so last week, he talked about kind of this idea of, like, sometimes the conservative Republicans of this world try to kind of paint this picture where they're the only Americans, like, and they are the only ones that kind of hold true to kind of the Constitution. They're the only ones that are real Americans.
Sure.
And yet he kind of highlighted like all these things that Donald Trump has said or done that are contrary to kind of the Constitution and to kind of the Bill of Rights and to kind of what kind of American ideology has previously clung to. And yet so they're like, and he's kind of saying like, you don't get to pretend that you're the real Americans while embracing this mentality. Like that's not fair. Like that's not how things work. Like if you want to embrace that mentality, go ahead, but you don't get to then kind of pretend that you're the real Americans. So I do think like there are aspects of Christianity who are doing the exact same thing, that we're the real Christians while embracing kind of wielding the cross as political power, which mm-hmm. is not a real Christian thing to do, while embracing hate speech rhetoric, which is not a Christian thing to do.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Now, the question is, you know, from my side, do I get to say that they're not actually Christians? And that becomes, you know, more complicated. You know, there's a thing there, the no true Scotsman fallacy, right? Like, I don't know if you're familiar with this.
The no true Scotsman
fallacy? No, I'm fascinated. Yeah.
But it's kind of this the play thing here of like, somebody's like in Scotland and they're like, well, no true Scotsman would wear, or no Scotsman would wear that kind of hat. Mm-hmm. And they see somebody who's Scottish who's wearing that kind of hat. And they're like, well, no true Scotsman would wear that. Mm. So, you know, you always can make that qualifier.
Sure.
That,
right.
You know, so like no true Christian would vote for a Democrat, or no true Christian would embrace the LGBTQ community, or no yeah. true mm-hmm. Christian on the flip side, you know, would vote for Donald Trump,
yeah.
or no true Christian would vote for Joe Biden. You know, like, that's easy kind of wield that kind of mm-hmm. power mm-hmm. of like, yeah, you can say that, but no true Christian would do that, you know, and
right.
that becomes much more complicated, especially if we look at kind of historical atrocities. You know, would no true Christian own slaves? Would no true Christian turn the hoses on Martin Luther King Jr. Mm-hmm. and his people as they're protesting slavery? I mean, people yeah. who identify as Christian did both.
Yeah. Well, I think it's the beauty and the curse of the theological position that we find ourselves in,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Not just as Lord of Life, but as Lutherans more broadly, right? That we can look at those and say, yeah, those are true Christians because they are both already redeemed by God and still sinners in this world.
Right.
And we can be both. And so what does it mean for us to stand in a place where we say, I don't doubt your connection with God. I doubt the words that you're saying, right?
Yeah.
And like, your actions do not demonstrate the faith that I understand Jesus to have proclaimed.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that I cast you out into the fires of hell, right?
Like, right.
That's the treatment that we don't get in reverse, right? Like, when people look at me and say, well, no true Christian, you know, runs a church that has a female pastor, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm immediately cast out of God's love sure, and grace yeah. forever by that group, right?
Right.
But I look at them, I don't cast them out of God's love and grace because I think God's love and grace is bigger than that.
Yeah.
But I also really don't think that what they're saying speaks the truth that God has to offer.
Sure.
And it is an unfortunately less dramatic message to say what you're saying isn't in line with Jesus, but God still loves you, right? Like, that's
right. Well, professing Christianity does not preclude you from being a trash human being.
Sure.
Like,
yeah. And being a trash human being doesn't make you not a Christian.
Exactly. Right, yeah. Like, they're not totally separate, but they're not, like, one doesn't equal the other. Like, you are yeah. not automatically wonderful and going to get it all right just because you profess Christianity.
Yeah.
And even if you are deeply troubled, doesn't mean that you cannot hold Christian beliefs.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the hardest thing about God's grace for me is that if it is true for me and for the two of us, or three of us in this room, two of you, three of us in this room, if it's true for us, then it has to be true for our enemies too.
Mm-hmm.
And there are days when I love that, and there are days when I hate that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and you know, moments when John MacArthur is saying, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. is not a Christian. Yeah, I'd love to say, okay, God's grace doesn't count for John MacArthur
right.
anymore.
Right? John MacArthur, like, not a Christian.
You're done. Like, I would.
Yeah.
But what I can say is, like, I don't think John MacArthur is speaking biblical truth.
Right.
And I don't think John MacArthur is speaking the heart of Jesus or reflecting the heart
right.
of Jesus. And I hope that God's grace is big enough to turn John MacArthur's
right.
heart. Right. Like,
right.
you know, there's a piece of that too. And yeah, that's the part
yeah.
of grace that
I
sucks
think
sometimes.
John MacArthur is a quack. I don't think that means I get to say that there's nothing about him that's Christian, you know?
For sure.
Yeah. But
yeah.
he has no problem saying that we're not Christian, which
yeah.
is
right.
Yeah.
It's complicated.
Yeah.
yeah. It is. Yeah. I think, you know, the reality is, I think, you know, Pastor John MacArthur, I think you're going to be shocked who you're going to dine with in heaven.
Mm.
And I think if this is your standards, I think you're going to be really stunned
right.
to find that. And also for myself, I think I will be shocked to dine alongside John MacArthur.
Are we going
to
be bummed?
Yeah.
That's the awkward part, right?
Yeah,
you're like, dang it.
When you go in, I'm like, are there assigned seats or do you get to sit with your friends?
Right.
Because, like, oh, I'm at this table.
Right, no. I got the John MacArthur.
Help this happen.
Again.
Can I change placards? but I, you know, it brings up that kind of complexities, right? Like, the reality is, I think there are true Christians out there who are abhorrent humans. Mm-hmm. Slaveholders, murderers,
yep.
rapists, who have a real belief in those two things that we mentioned at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, divinity of Jesus, and that his death and resurrection has provided salvation in some capacity, whatever that
yeah.
looks like.
Yeah.
And there are some people that I know and I love and I think are incredible that are not Christian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like yeah. that those two things are both true is yeah. really complex and hard and difficult. And how to weigh out how we kind of combine that with Jesus telling us, you know, by their fruit, you will know them. And that's hard, you know, that's a hard, challenging thing to like, no, I don't think we can kind of look at somebody else and say like, your fruit is bad. Therefore you are not a Christian. But I do think we can say your fruit is bad. Like what yeah. you're saying
right.
and what you're doing is bad.
Yeah.
Like it's not right. And like, it needs to be called out. And so at the time, you know, if people in Dr. Martin Luther King circles were saying, hey, this infidelity is bad and it is wrong and it is something that is not pointing to Jesus in your marriage and in your life, that's fine. I think saying you're not a Christian because of kind of some beliefs that don't quite align with mine,
yeah.
that mm-hmm. is wrong.
Right.
You know, and again, the fruit is bad doesn't mean you're not connected to Jesus. It just means there's parts of all of us whose fruit is bad, including me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. yeah.
Yep.
And it's also hard to say. There's people out there who's got real bad fruit, but are still Christian. So mm-hmm. that's more complex.
Yeah.
There's some political leaders that I think I got really, really bad fruit. Like it's the worst fruit ever. And they claim it's the best, you know. Like,
durian.
So.
Yeah. Durian fruit.
Durian's your go-to bad fruit. That's the one that like stinks bad, right?
It smells like garbage. Like it's yeah. illegal to keep in hotels in Malaysia.
Okay.
Because it's... like it ruins.
Yeah.
I've never even heard of this fruit.
It's super popular. Like
but
they
it smells awful.
Right. They like well, they all eat the world, it, but yeah. you're not allowed to have it in like public places because you have to get like a professional cleaner to like smoke this place out afterwards because it smells so strong.
Okay. I'm trying to think I've never had this. What do I consider the worst fruit? If I'm on a fruit plate, what am I avoiding?
Oh, nothing that you avoid compares to durian.
Okay, well, what I mean, on a typical American fruit plate, what are you avoiding?
What am I avoiding? Yeah. I'm not a really big fan of papaya, personally.
Papaya, yeah. Well, we don't get good papaya in the U.S. either. Like, I've
been to places that have good papaya. I'm not a big fan of papaya.
That's fine. Yeah. You don't have to like the papaya.
It feels like you're telling me I have to like papaya.
I'm not sure. I think most melons, I'm kind of like,
okay.
Kind of bland.
Not big on the melon.
But I'm not like throwing it out because it stinks up the whole...
Well, yeah, right. yeah, but I'm avoiding it. I would okay. rather give me some pineapple, give me some blueberries,
sure.
give me that. I'm on board. I'm a Granny Smith apple. Get rid of the Red Delicious. You know, that's what I'm saying. You know, so
okay.
Tart. Tart is my
I don't really
fruit.
Want, if I'm getting like a fruit plate, I don't really want an apple. I want an apple on its own. Great.
Right.
But
with like some peanut butter.
What about some yeah. slices?
Yeah. yeah sliced yeah. apple, fine. But I don't want like diced up apple in like a fruit cocktail mix.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'm a tart fruit guy. That's what I like. So.
Yeah, sure.
Mm. Watermelon is the king of fruits.
Watermelon is delightful.
Mm-hmm.
Meh.
Patrick doesn't like things that are
well,
good.
Well, you know.
It's fine.
I can't
it's
say okay. that he's not a Christian.
We can say that. It's fine. We can hold that truth. Watermelons are the heart of God. So if you don't love watermelons.
Right. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I don't know what to tell you.
The Bible doesn't tell us what fruit was on that tree. I think it was a watermelon.
I'm just saying.
Eve ate a watermelon, and that cursed humanity.
You're going to be surprised when the only food to eat at the feast is watermelon.
Right. And you're sitting next to John MacArthur.
Watermelon sorbet, right. Watermelon water, right. Watermelon.
This is like the good place.
Pickled watermelon rind. Right. It's going to be all the
is
watermelon.
Is this purgatory?
I'm not anti-watermelon. It's fine.
Sounds pretty anti-watermelon.
It does.
Fine.
Your rhetoric
it's
is
fine.
A little... Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, if you enjoyed this episode and our rants about watermelon, you can find all sorts of rants.
Hopefully, that's not what you enjoyed. If you like listen to 40 minutes of this and you're like, what are they going to talk about the watermelon?
You can find all of our fruit based rants at BeyondSundayPodcast.com. And we'd love to hear your thoughts on this episode or what a melon fruit you don't want to see on your fruit plate. We'd love to hear that too at BeyondSundayPodcast@gmail.com.
I think it is okay to tell your friends and neighbors if you don't listen to Beyond Sunday, you're not a Christian.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
That's qualifier, yeah. yeah.
Martin Luther King Jr. would have listened to Beyond Sunday.
Right.
Let's just be clear.
Yeah.
He would have loved it.
Yep.
He's listening in heaven right now.
Right.
Yeah, this is the soundtrack. Yeah. You got watermelon on the table and Beyond Sunday playing over the speakers. It's
Oh, crazy place.
Can't wait to go.
Right.
All right, thanks for listening, buddy. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.